It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
I ain't got a chance to make my tea yet. I'm going to become a tea guy during the show.
Oh,
I am way hot. There we go. All right, here we go. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
Hey. Hi, Kyle.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm all over the place now. Is my mic on? Are we up? Are we good to go? Here we go. All right. Welcome in, everybody. That's James Ham. I'm Kyle Madsen. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're hanging out with you until noon right here on ESPN 1320. It's Sacramento's sports leader. Thanks, everybody listening on the radio. We appreciate you immensely. Everybody listening on the Free Odyssey app, shout out to you. If you're listening on the Free Odyssey app and you can only listen to a little bit of the show, make sure while you're in the Odyssey app to download and subscribe to the James Ham and Kyle Madsen Show. That's the podcast version of this program. It's this show, just without the commercials. It's great.
There it is.
You can find it wherever you get your pods.
That's right.
And of course, everybody watching on YouTube and Twitch, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320, whether you're in the chatty house or whether you just observe from afar, we appreciate you so much for tapping in with us on a Wednesday, the final day without professional football for a long time.
Oh, I can't wait, Kyle.
Until February.
I can't wait.
I'm really excited.
I love it.
I love football season. Yeah, I'm just going through, and you start this time of year. That's what was wrong. My headphones weren't turned up.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering why this sounded so funky. There we go. All right. This sounds a lot better in my ears now. So we're just at the time of year where predictions start coming out, and you start rolling through, and bold predictions and playoff predictions and Super Bowl winners and all that jazz. And that, to me, is just it's my second favorite time of the year behind Christmas. Christmas, number one. The days leading up to and through football season, number two.
Okay.
It's my favorite time on the sports calendar.
Yeah, the sports calendar, because I've covered the NBA for so long, there is that buildup to the NBA. So it always feels like Halloween time is you're putting out your decorations, but also getting ready to be gone for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So the neighbor's like, oh, I love your decorations, but not to me, to everyone else, because I'm never there.
Sure.
So, yeah, I'm just gone. I'm literally, people are like, where did you go? We thought you moved or something. I'm like, no, it's my NBA season. I'm gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do like it though. The NFL season is, to me, it's like the greatest thing ever. Like I love getting up and watching football for 9 hours straight every single Sunday.
It's the best.
Yeah.
And it starts tomorrow. Chiefs, Ravens in Kansas City. We will dive into all that. Amblix, shout out to you. I've never seen you in the chat before. So just wanted to say hello and good morning. Thanks for tapping in. Yeah, man. The thing I love about the NFL season this year in particular, and we'll dive fully into this later on in the show and definitely into tomorrow, of course, Fantasy Friday with Faraz Siddiqui. That starts up at 10:30 on Friday, each and every Friday. Faraz Siddiqui of Upper Hand Fantasy will be joining us on this program to answer your questions and help you make your decisions for your fantasy leagues. James, you and I had a draft last night.
We did.
And that's another part of this time of year that I like, because fantasy football drafting is my favorite thing. Managing the team and doing all that jazz, hate it. Having to make week in, week out decisions about who to start, who to sit, hate it so much.
Well, that's why we have Faraz.
That's why people like Faraz are in my life.
That's right.
So they can make those decisions for me. But we had a draft last night, and we will have the commissioner of our Odyssey Sacramento League, Andy Hawk, who is the brand manager for Alt 94.7,
mm-hmm,
here at Odyssey Sacramento. He's going to jump in. We're going to chat with him. Charlie is in our league. So Charlie, I think, is a little bit of a ringer.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I was talking to Charlie, and he's like, oh, I'm not prepared. I'm just going to be winging it. You know, I might take 10 defenses. I don't know. And then you go look at Charlie's team, and it's like, hey, Charlie, it's kind of a little bit of a squad.
I
got a bone to pick with Charlie about his slow playing.
When I went to leave yesterday, he was doing mock drafts. He was actually like going
hilarious
through and like doing mock drafts.
That's like, so funny.
So don't let him like fool you here.
Oh, no, I got fooled. I got fooled. Not that that changed anything we were doing. It was funny. You and I decided to alternate picks last night.
Yes.
Because we couldn't both be in the draft at the same time.
Which is the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
It's so dumb. You can have a co-manager, but you can't have co-managers in the same draft.
It literally kicks you out every single time.
Which, I mean, I guess it makes sense. So you don't have two people drafting like at the same time.
Okay.
But if, I feel like you should be able to designate one person the drafter so the other person can at least see what's happening.
Yeah.
But you would make a pick, jump out. I would jump in, wait for our pick to come back around.
Yep.
And then we'd be communicating in the meantime, like, hey, what direction do we want to go here? Okay, do we want to go with this guy? Long story short, I'm not even going to say we, I accidentally auto-drafted Christian Kirk.
Yeah, it was a tough look. I know you were very upset.
I was pissed.
Yeah.
I was big mad.
There were some guys on the board I would have preferred. Like, yeah, we had a whole list of guys we're going
through. All of them, bro. Every single one. Christian Kirk is, this is irrational. You're going to be like, why are you being mean to Christian Kirk? He's never done anything to you. True facts. Like, my least favorite player in the league. I'm just out. Ever since the Jags overpaid him and reset the way wide receiver contracts are done. Not that I care about any of that, but just when he got overpaid, it was like, really? For Christian Kirk? What? And just ever since then, I've been kind of out on Christian Kirk. So naturally, karma, we auto-draft him. I auto-draft him. So he's on our team now. And then later on, I said, we're just going to lean into the bit.
Oh, yeah.
We're just full on the Trevor Lawrence hype train. And we also went with Brian Thomas, the rookie wide receiver.
Okay.
From Jacksonville. So you and I have to be big Trevor Lawrence guys.
When you said you were going on the Trevor Lawrence, I thought you were going to draft Trevor Lawrence.
No, that's crazy. We already overdrafted Brock Purdy.
Yeah, we did. That was my fault.
Look, here's the thing. With fantasy football specifically, and this goes for whether you're doing fantasy football or you're doing a football pool and you're doing picks or whatever it is, doesn't matter. You're doing this for fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's ultimately what the goal is here. So if you want to have Brock Purdy, if we want to have Brock Purdy on our team, then so be it. That's what it is. Screw the rankings. We wanted that player to be on our team. Could we have gotten him the next round? Maybe, but maybe not.
Yeah.
And if he had gone elsewhere and lit it up this year for 4,600 yards and 38 touchdowns and 9 interceptions, we'd have been like, man, really wish that we had taken Brock Purdy instead of whatever other quarterback we ended up drafting. What did we get? Tua?
We got Tua late.
Yeah, which I'm good with.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good, you can go matchup based. However, maybe Tua steps up this year and just lights it up and throws for 5K and 40 touchdowns. That'd be great.
I'm trying to think, what round did we draft?
I have no idea. Like seventh?
I think it was the seventh round.
But we're big Trevor Lawrence guys now. I wasn't going to go as far as to draft him, but I did want a piece of the Jags offense. And our favorite quarterback rankings are now out, by the way, speaking of Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Ruiz of The Ringer put the first edition of his 2024 QB rankings out. And I got to tell you, good news for us. Trevor Lawrence ranked 8th.
Oh.
Big year incoming.
That's right. I feel bad that
we got to root for this.
We didn't draft any of the Seattle receivers because he's really, really high on the Seattle quarterbacking situation.
Yeah, he's big Geno Smith guy.
Yeah.
And that's a Stephen Ruiz staple take, has been for a long time. Even when Geno was foundering around the NFL with the Jets and where else is it? The Giants. Where else is he?
I don't know.
Is he the Raiders for a second?
I don't think so.
Was Geno Smith ever a Raider?
I can look this up. Well,
yeah, please.
While
look this up. Yeah. So while Geno Smith was bouncing around the NFL doing the backup quarterback thing, Stephen Ruiz always had this take that he was better than people were giving him credit for. So now that Geno is a starting quarterback again, he has decided to make him the number 10 quarterback. I'm not going to lean into that. I don't ride with him on that take, but I think I'm higher on Trevor Lawrence than most of this station.
Okay.
So I'm
glad
I'm
we
cool
didn't take him,
this.
But Geno Smith played for the LA Chargers. Well, at that point, the San Diego Chargers.
I have zero recollection of that.
Yeah.
So
in
Chargers, Jets, Giants?
Jets, then Giants for a year, then Chargers, then the last 4 years with the Seattle.
Seahawks.
Mm. Seattle Seahawks.
No recollection of him being in San Diego. That's wild.
Yeah.
But these Stephen Ruiz rankings are fascinating. So just to get this out of the way, we got to scroll all the way down to number 31 to find Las Vegas Raiders quarterback Gardner Minshew.
Which the write-up on him is like the quick blurb is hilarious.
Yeah, we'll get to the blurbs in a second. Remember Brock Purdy last year spent most of the time in the 20s?
Yeah, he started at 31.
Was he at 31?
Yeah, that's why we were like, come on, bro.
Was it that long?
Yes, he was 31.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy, number 16 this year.
Oh.
And actually, here's where I'm torn. Because I think Stephen Ruiz is a mostly smart football analyst.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I'm torn. Because I think Brock Purdy is probably closer. I don't hate 16th. I'm not going to sit here and pound the table and be outraged. I can see the argument. But he said, for the same reason that evaluating a quarterback, I'm reading this directly off his rankings. For the same reason that evaluating a quarterback who's stuck in a terrible offense can be difficult, properly judging Brock Purdy's performance in San Francisco's dream offense feels like an impossible task. He's essentially the NFL's ultimate Rorschach test. Because my brain is wired to prefer bigger quarterbacks with stronger arms, I look at Purdy and see a passer with average accuracy, average decision-making skills, and above-average playmaking ability. I do not, however, see a game manager.
Okay.
Like, man, I don't have a ton of arguments against that. I don't hate any of that.
I don't hate it either, but just because
none of it was wrong.
Just because he has a preference for tall, big-armed quarterbacks doesn't mean that, you know, normal-sized human beings with normal arms like haven't found great success in the league.
Sure.
I mean, no doubt. How many, like, I compare Brock Purdy, like, Brock Purdy right now looks like young Drew Brees to me. Mm. Drew Brees was never big. Mm-hmm. He would never had a huge arm. This is who he was.
Mm-hmm.
But he was absolutely phenomenal
mm-hmm.
for 15 years.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with like quarterbacks come in all different shapes and sizes. And I think Brock Purdy has a chance to be an absolutely phenomenal quarterback.
Sure. So he's ranked 16th. He's ahead of Jalen Hurts, Tua, Derek Carr, and Kayla Williams. Those are the four quarterbacks directly behind him.
Okay.
And this is where when it comes to the whole like quarterback ranking conversation, this is where I get hung up a little bit. Because Purdy at 16. Then you have 15 Kirk Cousins, 14 Jared Goff. If you swap those in a different order, sure, man.
Okay.
And if you want to lump in Jalen Hurts and Tua and Derek Carr and Kayla Williams into that and just flip that order however you want, that's why I think tiers are a lot better for this conversation.
Yeah.
Because when you get to I wish I could say to the top like 10, but that includes Geno, who I think is down in this tier with Brock Purdy and them. And I think CJ Stroud is probably a tier above that right now. And he has CJ Stroud behind Geno Smith.
Sure. What in the world?
Like, sure, man.
What is with his irrational love of Geno Smith? Is it just like a gag?
So it's absolutely serious. So Patrick Mahomes is number one in these rankings. Is there anything more consensus in sports than Patrick Mahomes is the number one quarterback in the NFL?
No. I don't think. I mean, yeah, maybe Steph Curry's the greatest shooter in the NBA. Okay.
Sure. Okay.
But it's not like one position? No, because you can't get a consensus that Steph Curry is the best point guard in the NBA.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, like we can go from one position to the next and like it doesn't matter. Like I think there's not a consensus on anything else.
Because if you said, and I'm sure there's somebody out there, if we went around Sacramento and said who's the best quarterback in the NFL, I'm sure there's somebody who would give you somebody other than Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
But the large consensus is he's number one. I think if you went around Sacramento and said who's the best center in the NBA, in Sacramento, you're going to get a lot of Sabonis.
Yep.
But you're going to get a lot of Jokic. You're going to get a lot of Joel Embiid.
Maybe some Anthony Davis.
You might get some Anthony Davis. You might get some Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah.
Even if that's premature. Like, again, the point being there's not going to be that consensus. And I just, when I was looking at that, it's so funny. Any analysis you read, and we were talking about preseason predictions and prognostications and all that, anything you read comes down, like, everybody's picking the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. More or less because it's like, yeah, hey, Mahomes did it last year, and he's probably going to do it again this year. No team's ever won three in a row. No team's ever had Patrick Mahomes. What are you going to do?
Well, that and they went out and they improved his his skills positions.
They're better.
They're much better.
They're a better team this year.
Yeah, they're much, much better. Like another year of Rushy Rice, but then all the other receivers they added. But that team's just, it flat out, it's better. It's a better team. So I'm intrigued to see what they look like.
I kind of, it almost feels like, you know, we just talked about quarterback rankings and tiers and stuff. I almost feel like Mahomes has to be by himself.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. There's a tier that is Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's everybody else.
Right. And then there's the tier below that, whether that's, I don't care who you have in it, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Like the tier below that isn't super far behind, but it's definitely, I'm taking Mahomes first if I'm doing rankings or picking all the quarterbacks or whatever. And I don't, like I said, I don't know that there's a great argument for anybody else.
Well, even like if you're a fantasy football player and, you know, your league can downgrade quarterbacks, whatever. Quarterbacks like aren't extreme. I mean, they're valuable in our league, but we keep him every year because at the end of the day, like there's no reason not to. Like, even
this is in your league, your home league, not the Odyssey.
No, my home league that I played forever. And in all honesty, like Mahomes didn't have a great season last year. He threw 14 picks. He only threw 27 touchdowns, 4,200 yards, right? He wasn't great. And there wasn't a huge separation between him on the field and like his numbers. And like, I think he finished like sixth, seventh in scoring in our league. And that's not great. But you can't throw him back. You can't not keep him because he could go this season. He could easily throw for 45 touchdowns.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a thing that's on the table with him every year.
Yeah, 5,300 yards and 45 touchdowns. You're like, okay, we win.
Yeah.
We're in the Super Bowl.
It's there.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, it's very, very wild to see a player that just his on-field production, it doesn't matter. Like, he's so much better than everybody else at the position. It's not even close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Stephen Ruiz's rankings at The Ringer.
Yep.
Oh.
Oh.
That's a mouthful. Pause. NFLrankings.theringer.com/QB-rankings. Mahomes 1. Lamar Jackson 2.
Mm. Don't love it.
I have less quibbles with Lamar Jackson at number 2 than I do with... Where did the Athletic rankings have him? Oh, they had him outside the second tier. I think he was 4th.
Yeah.
But he was outside the first tier.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're tiering quarterbacks where it's Mahomes in one tier and then everybody else behind him, Lamar is comfortably in the second tier to me. So I don't hate that he's ranked second here.
No, I that's true. I mean, if you're specifically looking at just tiers, so I would put him in a second tier with Josh Allen. I'd throw probably Burrow in that second. And again, if we're talking about winning playoff games versus like fantasy, there are two different ways I would look at this. Like Dak Prescott is in a second tier if we're talking fantasy football. If we're talking regular football and all that stuff, I guess you have to at least consider him because he's a guy who's won 12 games a couple of years in a row. So that makes sense. But I'm more of, I don't know, like it just really does depend on how you're looking at the position. Right.
Yeah, Lamar is so interesting because he's so obviously awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year in the playoffs, they beat Houston 34-10, comfortably handled Houston. Lamar 16 of 22, 152, 2 touchdowns. He also rushed 11 times for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. I guess just that's dominant.
Yeah, it's wild.
And the big passing numbers aren't there, but he was super efficient. He ran the heck out of the ball and he accounted for 4 touchdowns. Not that many players in the league are doing that. But then you go to the game against Kansas City. They scored 10 points at home in the AFC title game, and he goes 20 of 37 for 272 yards, a touchdown and interception. Ran it 8 times for 54 yards.
Oh, yeah, he wasn't good enough.
Yeah, and that's just kind of where, that's the wall I run into with Lamar Jackson, is I so badly want to say, like, yeah, he's comfortably the second best quarterback in the league. He's won 2 freaking MVPs, and he's deserved both of them. Like, don't get it twisted. But at some point, for me, as irrational as it might be, that playoff success starts to become a factor for me. And that's where I can't put Lamar at number two, because I don't know what I'm going to get in January. I can't reliably say, hey, Lamar Jackson is going to take the Ravens to the Super Bowl.
I kind of put him in the same category, like if we're talking NBA players, and we're going to get to this, his name will come up later in the show, but he's sort of the James Harden of mm-hmm. the NFL.
Interesting.
You know, he's a guy who puts up crazy numbers. Mm-hmm. Like, and not just crazy scoring numbers. It's the rushing yards. It's the rushing touchdowns. It's the passing.
Rebounds. It's the assists.
It's all mm-hmm. of the stuff. You look at him, you're like, man, look what he's doing. But at the end of the day, he's like, can he win it all?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the answer is maybe not.
Yeah.
Like his style of play, whatever it is that he's doing. So I don't know. It's intriguing.
Yeah, man. Like I said, Lamar's obviously awesome. But I just, the 2020 season, the Ravens beat the Titans 20-13. He goes 17 of 24 for 179 yards, no touchdowns and interception. He runs it 16 times for a buck 36 and a touchdown. So did enough to win. Not a great game, but not terrible.
Yeah.
But then they go lose 17-3 at Buffalo. He goes 14 of 24, 162 yards, no touchdowns and a pick. He runs it 9 times for 34 yards. That's where it's like, man, I just...
Just feels like in the big game, they can take him away.
That's right, right. And that's the hang-up I have. As irrational as it might be, is I'm sure there's a Ravens fan who could sit down with me and go, look, here's all the context you're missing for those games. In this game, this receiver got hurt, and this game was why they fired Greg Roman, because he wasn't doing well enough with designing a passing game.
Mm-hmm.
And Zay Flowers fumbled last year. Okay, like, yeah, you know what? 100%. But like, at some point, if I'm going to have the same criticism of Justin Herbert of like, dude, you got to do something first.
Yeah.
I think that kind of has to start to apply to Lamar Jackson at some point.
No, I think so too. Yeah. I mean, again, it's kind of like Dak Prescott. He puts up all the yards,
mm-hmm.
he puts all these crazy stats, but when push comes to shove, he doesn't have whatever mechanism it is, or what he does on the field can be defended by the elite of the elite.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get deep into the playoffs, you're not just getting beat by an elite defense, you're getting beat by elite minds that are helping mm-hmm. run that defense.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, whether it's the head coach, whether it's a defensive coordinator, whatever it is, they're finding ways to take away some of these players. And the job of a great team is to find ways to get through, which is why, again, we can, you know, move Brock Purdy wherever we want on Stephen Ruiz's list. The deal is, whether he's got a big arm or he's 6'5",
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter. What matters is his team goes as far as they can possibly go
mm-hmm.
without winning at all.
Well, that's where I think the conversation diverges a little bit, and why these rankings are a little bit tough.
Yep.
Because what Ruiz is trying to do is isolate quarterback play, saying, hey, these rankings are how the standings would look if every team had everything the same, which is an okay exercise for sure. It's not reality.
Yeah.
Reality is what you just brought up. It's okay. You can say Brock Purdy is the 16th best quarterback in that situation, but the fact of the matter is he was the most efficient passer in the league last season. He was top five in MVP voting. He broke the 49ers single season passing record. He was in the top three or five in every freaking statistical category, traditional, advanced, or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
From a standpoint of playing the position with the hand he's dealt, there's not that many people doing it better than Brock Purdy. But on the other hand, I totally get the argument that, hey, if you drop Brock Purdy onto the Chiefs last year, they don't win the Super Bowl. Or if you drop Brock Purdy onto the Chargers last year, they win six games.
Mm.
Like, or however many, I think that what they win, seven. They ended up firing their coach. But I get that side of it, and I get that argument. But at the same time, I do think that when you're stripping everything and you're going, hey, if everybody was league average, these are how the quarterbacks would rank, then I don't know. It's a tough exercise. Josh Allen, 3.
Yep.
Justin Herbert, 4. He's a big Justin Herbert guy.
Yeah, so this is, again, like it gets back to it. Like, if you put these guys in a better situation, would they do better? And, like, I get what his idea is,
mm-hmm.
but it's like the chicken or the egg.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it is. Like, we're going to find out this year,
mm-hmm.
can Josh Allen and can Justin Herbert create wide receivers? Can mm-hmm. they create top-tier players around mm-hmm. them because they don't have them?
Yeah.
So how are you going to do in this situation? And we can't just keep saying, well, you know, he didn't really have the players. Like, he had Stephon Diggs, man. Stephon Diggs is a really good player. And not only that, but Herbert had, like, Keenan Allen's a great wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Mike Williams isn't a bad wide receiver. And Austin Eckler's great out of the backfield. Like sure, you can say, oh, well, he doesn't have the 49ers, all of their mm-hmm. things. Well, was Brandon Ayuk just like a foregone conclusion that he was going to be great before Brock Purdy took over? And
no, he's a first round pick, but yeah.
He's a first round pick, but that doesn't mean, you know, like how many first round pick wide receivers bust.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's like 5 of them every year.
Mm-hmm.
So like you have to look and see a player's ability to not only play within his system, but to also do what Patrick Mahomes did last year and just flat out create wide receivers.
Yeah, man. And that's my hang up with this style of ranking is if you're going to say that Justin Herbert is 12 spots better than Brock Purdy, okay. But then isn't the whole point that he's able to overcome whatever advantages he doesn't have that Brock Purdy does?
Yeah.
Like that's again, not saying that I think Brock Purdy is a more talented quarterback than Justin Herbert. If you drop Justin Herbert onto the 49ers, I honestly think they probably get better. But on the other hand, if the whole point of this is these guys can overcome situation, Brock Purdy can't. It's like, well, Justin Herbert hasn't. He hasn't done anything.
Yeah.
He hasn't won anything. He's put up big, but he's not. Maybe it's a defense. Maybe it's the play calling. Maybe it's, again, I'm sure a Chargers fan could sit down and tell me all the ways I'm wrong. But from where I sit, I think winning has to matter no matter what your rankings look like. At some point, getting the thing done in the biggest spot. It's why Jamal Murray has never made an all-star team, but is lauded as this, like, oh, man, you got to put him up there when you're talking best point guards in the league because of what he does in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like they've won a lot of playoff games, and he's come up with big games and big moments in the postseason. Like that matters in sports. And again, getting back to these quarterback rankings, like the reason I have any pause with Lamar Jackson is that the reason I have any pause with Justin Herbert is that like at some point winning's got to matter, man.
Well,
no matter what the context is,
I'd also say winning has to matter. Stats have to matter too.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you, a guy not only wins, but puts up the stats, but you want to keep putting an asterisk next to his name. Like, all right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we got to go to a break, Kyle. We'll figure
yeah,
this out.
Yeah, we sure do.
We will figure out this and world peace after the break.
Can't wait. We're also going to have Andy Hawk. He's the commissioner of the Odyssey Sacramento Fantasy League. I haven't paid him yet.
Oh.
So we're going to have to figure that out.
Oh. What is the league fees?
Like $50.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so we got to do that. We'll have him in here. Charlie, our boss, is going to be in here. Charlie, not a fantasy football guy, but playing fantasy football. Now we're going to have some fun with this league. And again, if James and I win, whatever money we win, we're buying drinks.
Oh, is it winner take all?
I don't know. We're going to find out. The commissioner's coming in.
All right.
So if you're listening to this program, you need to be invested because this will affect you. That's coming up next. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
It's a full house. I think this is the first time we've ever had this on this program.
4 people in.
Yeah, we have 4 people in. I'm Kyle. That's James. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Charlie O in the building. Andy Hawk in the building. Charlie O, of course, is our esteemed boss, and Andy Hawk is the brand manager at Alt 94.7 here at Odyssey Sacramento, and also the commissioner of our fantasy football league.
I imagine this is where you guys are giving all the fantasy football commissioners their flowers, right, for everything we have to deal with.
Yes.
How this year was weird too.
Weird season.
Because it was like people were canceling on leagues the day before drafts. And what people don't realize that aren't the commissioner is the teams have to be either 10, 12, or 14 if that's your league.
Right.
You can't have odd numbers. So the things that commissioners have to go through with either telling someone else they're out, which happened to me in a few places, or you have to find players at the last second. And then all of a sudden there's not enough money in the pot if people cancel.
Sure.
And people are like, this isn't even worth my time if there's only $1,000 up for grabs. Gee.
What?
Yeah, these are real conversations that commissioners have to deal with if there's not, or there's too many players, and then it's like the draft is harder, so people get mad at you about that. And this year was strange too, and this happened in this building,
yes,
where hours before the draft, people were not only complaining about the flex positions and what the positions were, or that it wasn't full PPR and it's only half, which is kind of the default.
Points per reception.
Yeah, the default setting anyway. And I'm like, you didn't want to bring this up, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, month ago, when we first started talking about this. People, I'd have to literally tell everyone in this draft that we're changing something because you just had this idea.
Okay, so let's. I want to put a pin in the PPR thing and the rules thing for a minute, because we had a little bit of a hiccup last night going into our draft.
Right, but I didn't even get to that part.
My brain is stuck on something you said earlier. You're a commissioner in a few leagues.
Yeah,
How many leagues do you commission, Andy?
So I'm only commissioner in two, and I only do two leagues now.
Got it.
I have my friends and family league, and I have this league. I've been doing the Odyssey Sacramento league since 2014.
Oh my God!
There was a program director of this station who had done it for like 10 years, was leaving the company, had to give it to someone. I had won the league that year. By the way, the last time I think I won this league.
2014?
And he was like, you're automatically the commissioner because you won. So
way too loud. Everything's coming in hot today.
My bad.
Mm-hmm. So be careful if you win a league, everyone. You could end up being the commissioner and then have newly hired rock DJs who can't figure out how to sign in or sign in too many times.
Oof.
Which happened
tough
yesterday.
Scene for KRXQ. Yeah, 98 Rock having a tough go.
They had a tough go last
night. So we had two 98 Rock DJs in this show. Abe Cannon, the afternoon guy, or in this league, and Paul, the morning guy.
Paul Marshall.
Abe somehow wound up with two teams.
Yeah, he signed in
and
twice
Paul
somehow.
Wound up with zero teams.
And they were going to be the last two people in, so I sent out two links, right, to sign in, which is what I sent to Charlie, who was able to figure it out, and sent it to you guys.
Yes.
He figured it out.
We all got it figured out.
And so I'm looking, and it's like, okay, there's 12 teams. I sent out two links. We're all good. And then 17 minutes before we draft, we get the text from Paul that he's not in. And I'm like, what do you mean you didn't? I sent this link to you a week ago. But Abe had logged in twice. And so when we'd realized a few hours before that he was in there twice, we needed another player. We got another DJ from another station, not knowing that Paul had never logged in.
Oh, so someone just completely got bumped.
Yeah.
So Abe has two teams?
No, he does not. Ken on the other station, on
got
the Classic
it.
Rock station, got that team because when we saw there was two, we didn't realize that Paul had never logged
Paul
in.
Oh, that Paul had zero.
Right.
I see what happened there. Okay, got it.
And at this point, I'm like, man, if he didn't check anything until 13 minutes before the draft, he doesn't really care. So I was like, I'm not dealing with this right now.
So now Paul's threatening to sue. He's going to pull. He's going to trump us all and sue
for
us
the $1,000 that's in our pool. By the way, have you guys paid yet?
No. Yes. In fact, you know what? I'm going to figure out. I got to figure out how to log into my Venmo right
with
now.
With that, and you said it was 50, and he keeps saying it's 1,000, and it's like, how much is this league?
Well, 1,000 total is in the pot, right?
Well, yeah, but 1,000.
12 times 50 12, is not
is 600.
Oh yeah, this is a smaller league. That's
Charlie spotting us an extra $400.
And this is
hey,
where
Charlie.
And this is where being a commissioner of too many leagues hurts you, because I'm thinking of my other league as $100.
Got okay. it.
If your checks are shorter this week, you'll know why.
So we had a situation like, because we still do a live draft as best we can. Some people are out of the state now, and so we have a couple of people that they live draft from remotely. But we used to have this guy in our league who would go to Burning Man every year.
Mm-hmm. Hilarious.
And then, of course, Burning Man is the weekend of is Labor Day weekend. Well, but then he would roll in after not showering for 2 weeks and just decide to show up for the draft. And, like, we couldn't even, like, he tried to sit on the couch and someone was like, hey, bro, you cannot sit on the couch.
Have
like,
some decorum.
We will never,
that's
ever
insane.
Get that smell out of the couch. So we, oh. He would have to sit in like a wooden chair in the corner and someone would Febreze him every once in a while. Like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing here? You what? So the commissioner every year has it at his house would be like, oh no, like, what are we going to do? Yeah.
Okay. So I'm figuring out my Venmo password now so we can get the financials taken care of. Charlie, you played it up like you were not a fantasy football guy at all. And then I went and took a look at your roster and you got a nice little team there. What are you hiding?
Have you taken a look at my hair? What color is my hair?
Oh, it's always under a hat.
Well, take a look.
I assume jet black.
It is very gray and white.
Oh.
I was there in 1964 when they invented the game at Denny's at the corner of 66 and Hagenberger.
Scotty Sterling.
I wasn't quite there yet, but...
Charlie invented fantasy football is what he's telling you.
Scotty Sterling did invent fantasy football.
Yes, Scotty Sterling did, right there, yeah. In that Denny's.
In the Denny's, yeah. But
I've played a lot, and I also have the privilege of being good friends with a couple of guys who are fantasy football experts. And over the years, I've gotten input from them and then developed my own philosophy, and it's worked for me. And so I just have a method to my madness that has served me pretty well, and I don't panic no matter where I'm drafting from.
Yeah,
so.
Charlie used a strategy actually that I really like, and I'm not talking about your whole kickers and defense thing because I do not condone that. But you were you picking at the very end of the draft?
I was number 11.
Yeah, so when you're in that spot, the theory is if you're the 11th pick and then you end up being the 13th pick. I mean, you're talking about getting the 7th best running back, the 6th best receiver. Mm-hmm. You're not building an elite roster with that strategy. So if you're 1-6, absolutely go chalk. Don't gamble. Take McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. Take CeeDee Lamb. But when you're 11th, you're not going to win at running back and receiver as far as the number one position goes. So I actually did the same strategy in my other league. I took Josh Allen with my first pick. Why did I do that? Because now I'm elite at one position. With my second pick, yeah, I take the best receiver or running back on the board, but with your third pick, what you can do then is you take Sam Laporta or Kelsey if they're available, depending on the size of your draft. So now you're elite at two positions, while most people in your draft are only elite at probably one. So
he's going with this elite position strat that a buddy of mine plays.
But it's not done there. The back end of your draft is so important. So what you've also done is by taking a receiver and a tight end in your first three picks, you never draft that position again. You don't need to. You deal with it on the waiver wire in weeks 12 or wherever your buy is. So now what you didn't do was you took a kicker and a defense really early. I wouldn't do that. Part of this strategy is, so if you have 14 picks, now you have 10 picks in a row. You're not going to take a kicker. You're not going to take a defense till the very end. So for 10 picks, you're only going to take running backs and receivers. So in hopes you get the Kyren Williams or the Puka Nacua. So sure. Now you've made yourself elite at three positions. And you're building this huge depth at running back and receiver, even though you didn't get the number one guy. So it is part of a large strategy that's very popular that people win leagues with.
But see,
so
the kickers
and
defense, I have no idea what he's doing.
Okay, but see, people always tell me, well, you know, taking taking a defense too early, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Except that when my defense blows up and scores 30 points, and then I go, oh, what happened to my defense? They scored 30 points and won me the game. Because defenses, if you notice throughout the course of a season, will have these blow-up games if you have an elite defense.
Mm-hmm.
I have kickers that blow up and all of a sudden they, you know, okay, oh, he kicked a 61-yard field goal.
Now
okay.
You're elite at five positions.
Exactly.
See, in this league, I told you, Kyle, I went and looked at the scoring. I'm like, man, kickers are OP. And he's like, what does OP mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, they're overpowered. They've
50-yard field goals count as a lot of points.
Yeah, they're 5 points, and then a 60 is even more, right? If he does,
It only happens one time a year, right?
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, it's becoming more frequent. I think it's like the 100-mile-an-hour fastball. But,
So Charlie, how many defenses did you draft?
Just one.
Okay,
but see, I don't like what
Kansas City.
But Kansas City's got a first place schedule, so. I don't feel like
I'm not worried about that. You know why I'm not worried about that? Because Kansas City always gets the calls.
James and I, we went with Seattle's defense, because Mike McDonald's the coach there now, but they had the Broncos week one, Patriots week two, and then we'll kick the can and figure it out in week three.
Yeah, where I went Cincinnati week one, even though they're not a great defense, but they play New England week one, so I'm going to get those 10 points and then stream.
Yep, yeah. So that's the move. That's the move we're on. I've now paid you, by the way.
Oh, great.
We're all set.
So now I've got to pay you.
We're good. Call it even. You got me this awesome coffee mug. You can have the $25.
All right.
Thank you so much. So how are we all feeling about Charlie, how are you feeling about your team? Let's start there.
You know what? I feel fine for the first week. You know, nothing makes any difference until we have to start working the wire.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to start working the wire the first week because we all know that we've got somebody going down. Somebody out of our starting lineup is going down week one. Mm-hmm. You pray it's not your quarterback, but somebody's going down. And the whole key to making the playoffs is to be listening to Faraz. And then looking at what
every Friday, 10:30 a.m.
Thank you very much. And then to be looking at that waiver wire and working at that. If you don't want to work the waiver wire on Mondays and Tuesdays, then just turn your money in and let everything just auto draft for you or auto place for you for the rest of the season, because that's how you're going to win.
I think that's my problem with fantasy. And I was talking about this earlier. I love to draft. And after that, I don't want to do it anymore.
Well,
I love.
Thanks. I'm going to enjoy spending your money.
Yeah. Now, names like you're the summer intern Purdy, right?
So
are you a 49er fan?
I was just thinking, absolutely, and I was just thinking, do I need to change the name of my team because you guys drafted Brock Purdy?
Yeah, we did.
I don't have him.
Too early.
So I'm now not. The summer I turned Purdy.
And then, Charlie, what's your team name?
Dead Air Dogs.
Oh.
Love that.
Okay.
That's really strong.
And I don't know if we can say our name on the...
Sure we can. It's just players on our team.
Okay.
Swift, Kirk, and the Dicker.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. It's just guys on our team.
It is.
You don't have to dump that.
We have DeAndre Swift. We have Christian Kirk.
On accident. I'm so mad.
What?
It auto-picked Christian Kirk.
We were in the midst of discussing, like, hey.
Really love Jacksonville, looking at your lineup.
Now, because we had just talked yesterday about how James, not a big Trevor Lawrence guy. I don't think anybody, I'm in on Trevor Lawrence still. I don't think anyone else at this station at ESPN 1320 is in on Trevor Lawrence. And I'm like, well, now we have Christian Kirk. We got to lean in. We're the Jacksonville Jaguars show now. Mm-hmm. Let's go Jags, Duval, baby.
Good for ratings, Jacksonville Jaguars.
A lot of Jags talk on ESPN 1320.
So we had this issue.
Hashtag Jacksonville.
Yeah.
We decided to take every other pick, and it would log it, so we could only have one of us in at a time. So one of us would have to log in and kick the other one out, and the other one would have to log out. Like, we kept going back and forth.
And we're trying to, like, text and stay on the same page.
That's how we ended up with Christian Kirk.
Yeah, that sounds painful.
Yeah, no, it actually went way smoother than I was expecting.
Yeah.
It was just that one, I was trying to decide exact, because there was a couple different routes we could go. And I was trying to decide, hey, I'm thinking of going this way. Do you have any strong objection if we do this? And we were kind of kicking a couple names around. And then as I went to go hit the name, it auto-picked for me. Mm. I was a second and a half behind.
I'm just glad you guys figured out how to log in and you didn't log in twice.
So. That's big time for us. It was a round of applause, everybody. While we're here, let's slam the pause button on the fantasy talk here because we got about 10 minutes left. We're talking about the Ringer's quarterback rankings. I don't know if you guys have seen these yet, but Steven Ruiz, NFL analyst for the Ringer, not a big Brock Purdy guy, has him ranked 16th this year.
He adjusts like throughout the season, so you know.
Yeah, each week they go up and down based on various factors. Do we hate this? I don't hate it.
I hate it.
Where do you have him?
I would put him at probably 7 or 8. How many active NFL quarterbacks have more playoff wins than Brock Purdy?
Right. Okay. So that's, and that's literally, were you listening to the show?
I think it's
a little bit.
Okay. So that's like literally like exactly
it's like
kind
five,
of what we're,
right?
Yeah,
it's,
maybe.
Yeah. He has, it's like, it's Mahomes and then
Rodgers, Wilson.
And then Brock Purdy is right up there.
Stafford.
Oh, Stafford's up there for sure. So that's kind of what we were talking about is what Ruiz tries to do is strip context. And hey, everything's equal. What do the quarterbacks look like? And it's like, okay, that's it. That's an interesting exercise. But my point was when we ended last segment, like at some point the winning has to matter, regardless of what
exactly.
You're, regardless of your situation.
And why is Rodgers 2? He didn't throw a pass last year.
Lamar is 2.
Okay, where's
Rodgers? Rodgers is 8.
Okay,
7.
Why is Rodgers anything other than 30th?
Because he's tall and has a big arm. That's what we've realized.
Okay, but seriously, I mean, you know, the guy tripped over his own foot, tore his Achilles. He's 40, what, 41?
41.
41 years old. It hasn't thrown a pass in competition in a year. Why is he in the top 10?
I think with Aaron Rodgers, it's track record, right? Like, he's done this for so long that you get the benefit of the doubt.
I've got a track record. I'm 74 years old. That doesn't mean I should be anything.
Yeah, it does. I give you the benefit of the doubt all the time.
I don't know.
Well, you have to because I can fire you. But that's
when you've been as good as Rodgers has been for 2 decades, and you miss a year, you're going to get the BOD. And if he comes out and stinks in week one, then you can adjust power rankings.
I need a guy who's played and showed me something last year. He stood on the sidelines and picked his nose last year.
He's got to
be at the bottom until he shows me something.
Yeah, I'd put Josh Allen at 2 and Lamar at 3 probably.
Yeah. He's got those flip, but I'm not going to quibble with those two.
Even Lamar has been so bad in the playoffs.
Right.
And
at some point, you have to factor in the intangible aspect of, hey, big spot, this guy has the fortitude to make a play and to be the dude in this spot. And this guy doesn't.
You know what I'm really tired of? I'm really tired of all of them being so mad that they were so wrong about Purdy because they missed him. They missed this guy. He was Mr. Irrelevant. They said, hey, he doesn't have it. He's not going to be the greatest quarterback of all time. I'm not saying that, but they missed him. And the guy's come in, he's come into a system, he's worked it, he works hard, he's a nice guy, and he's succeeding, and they're all mad because they missed him. So now that they missed him, they have to rate him low. Oh, you know, he's a flash in the pan, he's this, he's that, and what does he do? He just succeeds. He just wins.
Do they have Kirk Cousins and Dak Prescott ahead of? Right, because those guys have had all the chances to play well in the playoffs.
Yes.
And nothing. They've done nothing.
Dak is 6. Cousins is 15. He's one spot ahead of Purdy.
But what, does Dak have 2 playoff wins in 7 seasons?
Yeah, that's what, like, I understand.
That's a problem.
I understand Dak is good at playing quarterback. I don't want this to be a thing where it sounds like we're saying Dak can't play. Like, he very obviously can. But are you
except
super
when you
comfortable
throw pick
betting?
Sixes in the first quarter of playoff games? It doesn't
right.
go so well.
Are you super comfortable betting on Dak in a playoff game?
Never.
No.
I'm not.
No.
Yeah, man.
Even the Cowboys aren't comfortable about it.
Hey, I've.
Yeah, man.
I looked. Stafford has the same amount of career playoff wins as Brock Purdy, and he's 36.
I'm a Matt Stafford stan.
He's got 4.
I love Matt Stafford.
Josh Allen has 5 mm-hmm. career playoff wins.
Hey, have you ever thought about how different life would be if Patrick Mahomes hadn't kicked a field goal in the last 13 seconds of that game against Buffalo?
Oh.
Like, just how
the
different the
49ers win the Super Bowl because the rules don't change then.
Yeah, probably.
Old Super Bowl rules, the 49ers won last year.
No, they still would have had to, they would have needed a touchdown.
Oh, because they still would have got the ball
back. Yeah. But still, the arc of Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and how differently we talk about those guys because Patrick Mahomes got into field goal range in 13 seconds is crazy.
Yep.
Like that's why I have a hard time griping with Purdy at 16 on this list. I disagree with it. I think I would have him higher. But I'm not gonna the margin of error is so, so small between some of these guys.
Yeah.
So I don't.
I get that. He had him at 31 to start last season. And then he moved him all the way up to.
But like Jordan Love's already at 12?
Yeah, see, that doesn't make any sense.
How can that be?
How can he be above?
Win something.
We're just hand-waving that he wasn't. Now, Brock Purdy wasn't good against the Packers either last year at Levi Stadium. But Jordan Love wasn't good in that game.
No. That was all Aaron Jones.
Yeah, man. He was really good. Mm. He was really good in that one. Anyways, you feel good about the Niners right now, Andy?
I don't love what happened in Union Square.
Yeah, it was tough.
That is a bummer. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I think all the drama we've lived through, we're in good shape.
Yeah, I think so too. I feel like the vibes are better now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think now the vibes are back.
Kind of back.
I do not feel
we're
gonna good.
We're going to learn a lot week one. Why don't you feel good?
I think this bungling of signing players is going to come back and haunt them.
Yeah.
Every time they delay, and it's not just the Niners. This is an across-the-board issue in the NFL. Mm-hmm. They delay in signing players. These players come back in, even if it's a hold-in, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. These guys come back, and it's an issue of injury that mm-hmm. happens. Mm-hmm. And then instead of getting a guy, because no, you're not getting anybody for 17 games. Let's just face that fact. Mm-hmm. But instead of getting a guy for 14 or 15 games, you wind up getting him for 11 or 12. And then that can cost you. And a key guy like Ayuk, mm-hmm. you're going to need him for more than 11 or 12 games.
No
so I'm very, very cautious right now about the Niners because of the way they handled it. And they should have gotten this done. They've got the money. They've got the situational organization to have gotten this done. And they just bungled it in the jungle, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think in their defense, when you see the contracts at the end, it's so complicated. Like mm-hmm. every single one of these contracts were so wild. I mean, Ayuk's like base pay is like $1 million this year.
Yeah.
Oh. Like it's so wild how complicated these things are. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's part of it, like trying to convince somebody else that this is why we're doing this. And, you know, mm-hmm. it'll be okay. Trust me, you're going to get your money. It's like, well, no, I want a giant Brinks truck now.
Well, we got to get out of here. We said that, the Brandon Ayuk situation was complicated. We said going in, man, it looks like the Niners are kind of mad at him. He explained why the 49ers might have been mad at him yesterday. We'll have that sound for you next on the Insiders. That's James. I'm Kyle. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Andy. We appreciate you guys. We'll talk to you throughout the fantasy football season, I'm sure, right here on the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're hanging out with you until noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. I did not realize that Chai was going to start arguments in the Chatty House.
That's a weird one to
Chai say. Tea House.
Yeah? That's kind of a weird thing to start an argument over.
Right? Somebody said, well, I guess it's not really an argument.
Okay.
But
I'm just not a chai guy.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Not everybody's going to like everything.
No, I'm totally fine with that.
Somebody not liking a thing, you don't have to apologize for not liking a thing.
Nope.
I don't know, man.
I've had a cold brew a couple of times, a caramel salted cold brew. And for whatever reason, the caffeine in that
cold brew's crazy.
I'm amped all afternoon.
Yeah. Cold brew. Yeah. Cold brew. A correct cold brew punch in the mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Vietnamese iced coffee is really good. Don't disagree. This is funny, though. Aldrin J said, Vietnamese iced coffee greater than chai. That's like two separate things. That's like two different. Totally different things that you're comparing.
Yeah, it's like.
That's like. I don't know, sourdough bread greater than remote control.
They're totally different.
Although, I think that's the correct take, because if you told me I could have either sourdough bread or a remote control for my television, I think I would rather take sourdough for the rest of my life.
Really?
Assuming I have a means of manually changing whatever app I need to change. Because I don't have cable. Like, it's not like you go to the TV and flip through channels, right? It's
but
not,
see, Kyle,
it's not 2004 in here.
You weren't around when there were TVs without remotes. So you don't, you haven't lived in that era. You've lived in an era where you lose a remote and you scramble and look for it for an hour. Mm-hmm. But to actually live in an era where you had to get up and change the channel, or your dad would say, hey, go change the channel. That's how, that's like before there were remote controls. That's why people had children.
No doubt. But this was literally. Also, but this was also when there were six channels.
Yes.
I turn on one app and I'm on that app for hours.
Yeah, that's true.
So if I, like I said, if I have a means to manually change the app or scroll, whatever, I would rather get up to the TV and do that and have access to sourdough bread than be able to scroll with a remote and not have access to sourdough.
Hmm. I'm going to take
in
the
fact,
other side.
I'm not even sure it's close.
I just, I
you'd
just
rather never eat sourdough bread again
and
than
have
to
remote
manually
control?
Get up and yeah.
Yes.
You just got to walk over to the TV right now and hit the button and it'll take you where you need to go on YouTube TV.
What about those days where
and
you're
never
you're
get to have, they
you're
say,
not
do
sure
you want,
what you want to watch and you got to sit there and look and look and look.
You're at breakfast and they say, okay, what kind of toast do you want? You're going to have white wheat or sourdough and you are now constricted to wheat and white for the rest of your life?
That would be a disappointment.
That's a disaster.
It would be a disappointment.
That would be terrible.
I agree, but as someone who lived in an era where it didn't matter how many channels you had, but you had to go up and there was like a turn dial and click, 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 click.
Right, but that's an era, again, this is an era where, hey man, Family Feud is now over. Now we need to jump over to catch Columbo. And now you got to walk over and you got to change it. It doesn't happen now.
No, I know.
You're going to the TV so much less. You're not flipping channels.
Yeah, but you're telling me that I've got to go and like manually change
okay,
that?
Okay, look, here's the difference. Watch. I'm going to go. Watch me go to the TV right now.
Okay.
And understand that the time this is going to take, you're going to have to narrate because it's going to be dead air.
Okay.
But understand that the time this is going to take to move the TV around.
Okay.
To get it where I want, I don't even know if this TV has the functionality to do what I need it to do.
No, I don't think it does.
But again, I'm in this fake world. There's a TV that allows you to do this.
Okay.
Okay. Understand that the time that this is taking versus never having sourdough bread again. Okay, here we go.
Kyle is getting up. He's taking his headphone off.
I'm going to take, here, this is the remote.
Okay.
It's going to function as this. So let's pretend I'm walking over the TV. Okay, let's see. I need to click studios. Okay,
well, but you're still using the remote.
Yeah, but in this scenario, the remote is like attached to the TV.
Oh, okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Where you have like, you can change a channel
yes.
on. Okay.
Right. So I can do all this. I just can't take the remote with me.
Yeah, but.
So we're going
to
go.
So Kyle is trying to change a channel. He's struggling. This is a struggle right now already. Yeah. So what Kyle doesn't understand is that, like, when I was young, not only did you have to,
but I would rather have sourdough bread than have this remote work. This is a thing.
Never. No, I'm telling you. Like I had in my bedroom, I had our old TV, and not only did you have to manually change a channel, but then you had a secondary knob that was behind the channel changing knob to fine tune the channel you're watching. And then, like, we even, Kyle's destroyed everything. Now he's just accidentally shut everything off. Like, hey, I really enjoy sourdough bread, but I also like rye bread, and I also like other forms of bread, and, like, I think I could make it. I don't know, Kyle.
I don't know how we've gotten here.
This did not work at all. Kyle's attempts.
Neither does the remote.
Yeah, the remote, for whatever reason, is not working right now. So.
But if Seth, our engineer, came in here and said, I can fix that remote or you can have this loaf of sourdough. No question for me, dog. Not even a question. I read this morning. That's James and Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Welcome to the program. I hope this isn't the first time somebody's listening.
Well, if it is.
It's not usually this insane.
It's okay.
We're usually more buttoned up.
We don't usually have two guests at one time.
No, and we also we have at least Abe coming in later. Abe Cannon from KRXQ 98 Rock.
Yeah.
The afternoon drive guy. Love Abe. He'll be popping in. He is a White Sox fan. And he's also in the fantasy. We'll talk about fantasy real quick. But I need to get his thoughts as a White Sox fan.
Okay. I mean, because, he is from Chicago.
Yes. Yeah. He is a Chicago dude, for sure. So, last night, Maury Brown, who does a bunch of like business and sports type of writing, is a Seattle guy, Mariners fan, and was bemoaning the Mariners' inability to beat the Athletics.
Mm.
And I went, he said, he was like, the Mariners haven't gotten a hit since this inning, blah, 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 blah. This is the A's we're talking about. And I was like, hey, man, haven't the A's been better than the Mariners for like a long stretch of time now?
Over 2 months.
The Mariners are 9 games ahead of the A's. Don't get it twisted. The A's are not going to catch the Mariners.
Mm-hmm.
But I went and looked. The A's, 30-22 since July 1. The Mariners, 22-30.
That's wild.
And then the A's beat them last night in a walk-off. So 31-22 and 22-31 now.
Mm.
So I was tweeting about this. And somebody said, now do the White Sox.
Oh, no.
The White Sox since July 1st. So that is 2 months of baseball. Have won 7 baseball games.
Oh.
They are 7-42.
That is, man, that's bad, man. You almost have to try. And I watched, did you see the two dudes run into each other trying to catch a fly ball yesterday?
Yes. Like, routine fly ball. Looked like a movie about a bad baseball team.
It looks like Little League baseball. Like, it looks like these guys are failing in, like, a Little League way. It's very strange.
It's insane, dude. So, the White Sox, in that stretch since July 1, they've won 7 games. They have scored 1 or fewer runs 17 times. Historically bad baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Like, maybe the worst team we'll ever see.
I mean, they're going to lose well over 100 games.
They've already lost over 100.
Are they going to lose 110?
They might lose 120, dude.
That would be so shocking.
Can they lose 120? Hang on. They might not be able to mathematically.
I'm going
to
guess that they can.
The White Sox they have lost 109 games.
Oh, no.
It's September 4th.
How many games do they have left?
22.
There's no way they're going 500.
If they go 500, they lose 120 games. If they go 500 the rest of the way.
They could lose 125, Kyle. What is the worst?
I think I would be shocked if they didn't lose 125. That's on pace.
That's absolutely crazy.
Let's see. What's their winning percentage? 221.
You know, I think it's interesting because, you know,
they're on pace to win 36 games.
That is so crazy.
That's
126. That's 126 and 36. Yeah. So the A's are moving to Sacramento for next season. So we've been trying to get more involved. Both Kyle and I are A's fans, and we've been honest about that the whole time. And I think watching them right now, I'm feeling more and more excited every time I watch them. And not because they're moving to Sacramento, but because they're actually becoming like a really exciting story in the second half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we actually might get to watch halfway decent baseball in Sacramento.
Yeah, man. I've been on this tip.
Yeah.
This is the 2017 A's, dude.
Yeah.
The 2017 A's weren't as bad early in the year as this A's team was.
Mm-hmm.
But they also weren't as good through the entire second half of the year as this A's team has been. This is the logical, typical flow of the Oakland Athletics.
Yes.
And they hit that valley. They went to the postseason, which they made it in 2020. And did they make it in 21 as well?
Man.
But then they were really bad for those couple of years.
Yep.
And then, oh, look at that. Some of their young players have started to come up, and they've started to be around, and they've started to figure it out. And now they're on the rise. They're going to win 65 or so games this year. I think next year you're probably looking at something a lot closer to 500, and then you're probably looking at a playoff team the next year, because that's just what the A's do.
It's absolutely wild.
Yeah, man.
They win for 3 years, then they lose for 3 years. then they win for 3 years, and then they lose.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. In 2015, they won 68 games. In 2016, they won 69. Then they won 75, and then jumped to 97 and 97. And then in the 60-game season, 36 and 24, and mm-hmm. lost in the ALDS. But yeah, they became like really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are
and now they're on the swoon.
Yeah, now they're in the swoon. We
and
went from
ticking back up
86, 60, 50, and they're at 61 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got 20 some. I think they're going to win 70 something games.
That'd be crazy.
I think it would be wild if they win like 71, 72 games. And maybe they could even like outside shot at like 74, 73, 74 games. That would be absolutely crazy.
Be insane.
The way that they're playing right now. I mean, and
they're over under when the season started was like 56.5.
Yeah, 56.5, 57 right there. Yeah.
But, and they're already at 61 with a month to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's been super impressive, and I'm with you. I think if they gotta figure their pitching out, that's been a little bit up and down this year.
They do, but they have some young pitchers that are all of a sudden getting some burn.
Yeah. So if that trend continues and they kind of continue to figure that thing out, then maybe you're looking at the postseason next year. But I definitely think, and this is what Kenny the other day said, you know, I think John Fisher he's playing the long game and he's going to spend all this money in the last couple of years. Like, I don't think he's ever going to spend any money, but I think they're just going to be really good for probably their first 2 or 3 years here.
I think the way that they take a gigantic leap is if they can go out and get a legitimate, you know, top of the order starting pitcher to balance. And I don't think they will. And that's going to be the biggest thing. So if they could get like a legitimate, even a number two or number three starter, or maybe two top, you know, two, three, four starters, they would have a shot, because I think you can piece something together with Joey Estes and JP Sears and maybe as Osvaldo Beetle.
I don't want to give anybody some false hope that John Fisher is going to come in and suddenly be like, oh yeah, hey, let's go get a top end starter. If he does, awesome, cool, it'll be a first. But I don't want to start painting some picture that the A's are going to suddenly start doing that, because there's no evidence that they will.
No, I totally agree with that. And then the other thing, I you know, right now I love watching Brent Rooker play baseball. Mm-hmm. He's playing, I mean, he's been exceptional.
He's been incredible.
He's got 33 homers, 93 RBI. He's batting .294. I want to see him play at Sutter Health Park for the A's so bad. Mm-hmm. But this franchise, I can't guarantee that he's going to make it through the summer. You know, the one guy I think everyone knows that will make it through the summer and is going to be a big part of what they're doing moving forward is Lawrence Butler. And my goodness, dude, he's literally becoming a superstar.
He's like, so fun.
Right in front of us.
He's so fun.
Yeah.
He's just figuring it out. Watching good players figure it out is one of the most thrilling parts of being a sports fan. Player that you're watching, and you go, hey, there's something there, man. Like, hey, he's not quite over the hump yet, but dude. There's a little, and you said it at the beginning of July, and I said, "Yeah, like I need another. I'm not there yet."
Yeah.
And then he just kept hitting, and hitting, and hitting, and he's still hitting.
He's right now. He's on a 12-game hit streak.
Mm-hmm.
He's up to 21 homers. I think he is going to sneak in and steal the AL Rookie of the Year. And we talked about this last week and was like, he's not even in the top 10 in betting odds. Mm-mm. All of a sudden, he's got 21 homers. He's got 54 RBI. He's batting .265. The guy who's leading I think he's got 21 homers. He's got 49 RBI and he's batting .245. That's the odds on favorite, the Orioles outfielder.
Yeah, Colton Cowser.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking now.
Absolutely wild. So, yeah, I think it's
good. Maybe BetMGM has him. Sorry, keep going.
No,
I am flummoxed as to why he is not in the running here, why Lawrence Butler is not even on the board.
No, and I went through and I looked at, you know, what is it, your qualifications to be eligible for Rookie of the Year, and it's 130 at-bats, and last year he had 129 at-bats. And it's 45 games, and he played in 42. I've looked, and I think he is eligible, And he's actually won two of Player of the Week awards, which E. Eaton says in the chat. He's, I think, the first A to win two Player of the Week awards in like many, many years. So, yeah.
He's not even, BetMGM doesn't even have him.
Yeah, I don't understand why he's not still not on the radar, because his hit streak and...
There has to be an explanation.
Yeah, there has to be an explanation.
I don't think it's a market thing, because plenty of A's players have won rookies of the year and MVPs and Cy Youngs and all that.
I mean, they've had streaks of three rookie of the years in a row.
Yeah, right. Canseco, McGuire, and Weiss.
Is that right? Yeah, but they did it again with, I think, Crosby,
Stills, Nash.
No, it wasn't Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Or Young. No, it was.
Oh, that was...
Ben Grieve?
No, that's not right. Ben Grieve was too early. He was like 98. Bobby Crosby was something. I can't remember. I have blocked this out of my head.
Yeah.
I'm also still stuck on the Lawrence Butler of all this.
No, it's let's see. Rookie of the Year, the A's. Oh, Andrew Bailey won Rookie of the
Andrew
Year.
Andrew Bailey, that's it. Yeah, the closer.
But that's not the year I was talking. Okay, so there is Bobby Crosby. There's Ben Grieve. Man, they've won a lot. So they didn't win back to back after the Walt Weiss, Mark McGuire, Jose Canseco streak.
Right.
Yeah. It's them.
It was those three guys, right?
Yeah. Oh, Houston Street won Rookie of the Year.
Yep.
That was in 2005.
Texas legend.
And then 2009, Andrew Bailey. That's crazy. So, I'm here for it.
I'm stuck on this Lawrence Butler thing now.
Yeah, why he's not eligible?
Yeah. Does he not have enough plate appearances or something?
No.
To be eligible?
Maybe it's 350, but he's right there.
How many does he have? How many plate appearances?
I think he's at 360.
Okay.
Yeah, let's see.
I'm trying to figure something out here, and I can't.
Somebody needs to come up with a reason why Lawrence Butler's... It's possible he was up with the team too many games last year. He's at 332 at bat, so maybe you need 350.
I think he doesn't qualify as a rookie.
That would be
the only thing that makes sense to me.
Yeah, but I think it
because when I filter when I'm on a stat site and I'm trying to sort this out, I'm trying to sort this out because it's really bothering me now. And when I filter out the rookies, he is not among them.
While some outlets have players as Lawrence Butler, Xavier Edwards, and Matt Walden listed as rookies, they are no longer eligible by NBA standards.
MLB standards.
MLB standards. Yeah, I'm going to have to...
There it is. That explains it.
Okay.
There's
got to be something, but then you can see why, you know, other people are like making their case for him to be Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. I know the requirements are it's 130 at bats. If you go over 130 at bats, you're done. 50 innings pitched or 45 days on an active roster of a major league club.
Oh, 45 days on the active roster?
Yeah.
Oh, then he definitely blew past that last year.
Well, I don't know how many days he was out. Well, we'd have to.
He played
look.
42 games.
Yeah, but when was he called up? So. Yeah, I don't know. It must be issue. That must be the issue. So it happens.
Yeah, if he's not eligible, that would definitely throw a wrench in his Rookie of the Year.
I know
campaign.
This is. I looked it up yesterday. I was like, "Hey, why is it that he's not eligible?" And it must be within like a day or two. But I do know like he only played in 42 games.
Yeah, yeah. So he must have been up for the requisite number of days to have his rookie status revoked this year. Real quick, we were on the White Sox to start this segment.
Yeah.
The historically bad White Sox, they're 78 games under 500. The American League Central has five teams in it. Mm-hmm. Four teams in that division are above 500. And as a division, their combined record is 34 games below.
Oh.
Because of the White Sox.
That's wild.
Isn't that insane?
That's, man, I...
That's bonkers to me.
Dude, they are 78 games under 500.
Yeah. 31 and 109.
That is absolutely insane.
They could win 70 games in a row and still be way under 500.
They are 49 and a half games back of the...
Just of their division.
Yeah. Of the Commanders.
How many games?
Not
how many,
Commanders.
Guardians.
Guardians.
How many games back of the American League lead do you think they are?
They've got to be... Well, let's see, 80, 81. Oh, they're 51. 50 and a half.
50. I didn't think. I'm hoping for a guess.
Well, just because just I look. Math. Yeah. It's a Baltimore's only a game
the,
above.
The Angels are in second to last, 23 games back.
That's so crazy.
The White Sox are 27 games back of second to last place. And that is more games. They are more games behind the second to last place team than the second to last place team is from first place. Mm. That's insane, dude.
That's wild.
Insane. What a season. What an incredible Major League Baseball season. Do we want to... Here, let's do the James Harden thing now. Or at least let's get into it. I read this morning. This is what I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
James Harden just very quietly going to pass Ray Allen for most threes in NBA history this year, or second most threes in NBA history.
It's just
like, how did we get here? And this has never been said once. I've never seen this. I'd never heard of this until today.
It's because it's changed like so much over the last decade.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely crazy. I mean, James Harden had a season. What did he shoot? 1,100 three-pointers?
Yeah. In just a ridiculous amount.
I mean, that's where he was going to always be. I mean, he was going to compete with Steph no matter what, just because of the sheer volume. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a season where he averaged 13.2 three-point attempts per game.
Man.
13.2 by himself.
13 just threes, not field goals.
He shot, my bad, 1,028. It's the record, I believe. He also had an 843, a 722, a 756, just three-point attempts.
Man.
He's got 8,082 three-point attempts in his career.
Oh, my God.
And he's almost hit 3,000.
Is he at 37% shooting?
36.4.
That's a lot of threes for a dude that's not hitting 37-plus percent.
That is a lot of threes.
We'll continue digging into this, and I also want to play that Brandon Ayuk sound, what he had to say about his contract negotiation, because it piqued my interest, and I think proved some of the reporting after the contract signing correct. We'll tell you why next on ESPN 1320. That's James and Kyle. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. I hit the wrong button. Here we go. We're going to go to break now.
Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle, that's James, they're Jiffy Lube, they're omnipresent and the sponsor of this program, and 98 Rock's own Abe Cannon?
Yes.
Abe Cannon
that's
in the
correct.
Building.
Thank you.
Wearing a White Sox hat.
Am
you're,
I?
You're here to talk fantasy
right.
football.
Should I be ashamed of wearing this hat as you're wearing the Oakland Athletics hat?
Yeah,
the,
no.
You
the
got
only
more
team
wins
historically
than they
wears. 31 and 22 since July 1, thanks.
Yeah,
the A's turning it up lately.
Nice.
Three games coming up in Chicago at Guaranteed Rate Field, by the way, in a couple weeks.
Awesome. I can't next wait week? To see the Sox and the A's play here in Sacramento next year.
Yeah, that's that's going to be great for you.
That's the first month, yeah.
Nice.
I'm excited.
So,
Kyle,
what?
You realize the A's have as many wins since July 1st as the White Sox have total.
Yeah. The
31.
Sox are horrible.
Damn. Like, historically.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
It's the worst team ever.
They might literally go down as that. It's hard to do.
Yeah. I'm happy because the owner is horrible, Jerry Reinsdorf, and they're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. And now he wants a new stadium. Like, you don't get a new stadium. You're trash. Like, well, you don't earn a new stadium by being garbage.
Well,
well, the A's did. Let me tell you. They had to leave town to do that.
Yeah. No, well, yeah. Anyways, you're in our fantasy football league apparently twice.
Well, that's not true.
Yeah.
So I was sent the invite, and somehow I don't know. They said I accepted it twice. So if you go to, I'm in like four or five leagues. So if you go on your app.
Oh, my Lanta.
I had this league twice. And why do you guys share a team? It's a $50 league.
Because we're the last team that were invited.
Yeah, they need the 12th guy.
And at the time when we were invited, you had two teams. That's on the list. It said Abe's team number one and Abe's team number two.
Isn't that something the commissioner should have taken care of? Like if I were a commissioner and
we had the commission earlier and he put the blame squarely on you.
Oh, he did? No. Well, if I were a commissioner,
trying to drum up.
It's fine if he did, because if I were the commissioner, now I went out of my. They're like, oh, we're one team short. So I'm like, let's get Ken Anthony from the Eagle.
Yeah,
I made that happen in 10 seconds.
It was everyone's crazy like, oh. How fast it was.
Because I make things happen.
You do.
See, normally everyone's like, I guess I'll ask some people. I'm like, let me put in a call. Let me make this, and I made it happen.
Did you get on the horn?
I texted him. I said, hey, do you want to be in the league? He's like, sure. Okay.
Wait, hang on. Ken from the Eagle.
Yeah.
Texted you back that quick?
Yeah.
That's great. Ken has a I don't text back fast face. He looks like a dude who takes a day or two to get back.
Not only does he text you back, he texts you back forever. Like the conversation goes on for an hour.
Oh. Now that also tracks.
Yeah.
That also
it's a long texting thread,
right? So okay, so
by the way, what do you think of Caleb? What do you know? So it just keeps going and going.
Oh. What do you think of Caleb? That's a great question.
He's great.
Yeah, I think he's going to be awesome. The Bears are going to be good.
By the way, on my show on Fridays, I do the best bet of the week. Historically, I've had a 70% winning percentage picking NFL picks.
That is remarkable. That's a really good number
over the last like many years, around 70%. And I pick one game each week. I look at the spreads. If it doesn't make sense, for instance, if the 40, who's a horrible team this year?
The Patriots.
Okay, so if the 49ers are playing the Patriots, and it was the 49ers minus two, it doesn't make sense, right? It should be minus 14,
that's
right?
Pats plus two all day.
So I would take the Pats.
Yep.
That's how I make my picks every week. I do that every week, and 70% over the last 12 years.
Wow.
Yeah, dude, the baseline.
And now I can't bet on football here, so I'm glad I'm on ESPN. I need a bookie. What's the number here? I need an illegal bookie, or I need some way to put in bets.
916-909-1320, 916-909-1320, if you can be an illegal bookie for
I need a way to put in my bets. I'm gonna have to. California's forcing me, because I might have to get an illegal offshore account. I said I want to put together a degenerate bus ride every Friday to either Tahoe or Reno.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know
Reno's
if you guys would
close.
Be down for that.
I'm so down.
Every Friday. Okay, so we take all the degenerates. We take 10 from ESPN, 10 from 98 Rock.
Okay.
We take the degenerate bus
ride. We've got a gang of them here in the chatty house.
We could probably get that sponsored, the degenerative bus ride.
Yeah.
Degenerate, not degenerative.
Well, whatever.
Oh, degenerate.
Yeah, it's not a disease. I don't have a bone problem.
We had people in the chatty house would be like, hey, preseason starts tonight. And somebody's like, yeah, I got the Texans +3 against the Saints.
Yeah.
Like, what? It's preseason. Don't bet on that.
Yeah. No, it's crazy.
I love this idea.
So Fridays, after my show, it ends at 7, we have the bus pick us up here at the radio station, right in beautiful Roseville, California. We take the ride to whatever's the closest.
Kiki's Chicken.
What's that? Oh, yeah, right by Kiki's.
Get Kiki's
See,
on
See, Kiki's
on
could
bus.
Be on board.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whoever.
Yeah.
I'd love it. I just went to Kiki's yesterday.
Love Kiki's.
I get the 8-ounce thing of blue cheese that's like a
Little bucket of blue cheese.
Delicious.
Incredible.
Anyway, back to what we were saying. We were talking about the Fantasy League, right? So I got Ken. I made it happen. So if I'm a commissioner and I see Abe twice, wouldn't you be like, hey, why is Abe on there twice? He didn't even look.
1,000%.
He didn't even know that Paul wasn't signed in.
I think you and I went on the elevator together. You had a bunch of stuff, so I hopped on the elevator with you the other day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, you've got two teams. I told you that. Because I remember, and I'm like, yeah, me and Kyle are going to share a team, and you've got two teams.
Oh, I guess I didn't know what you were talking about when you said that. I'm like, yeah, I guess. I'm like, I don't know. I think I thought you meant other leagues or something.
No.
Oh.
Blew me off.
I didn't even know. I was confused.
So you thought James said, man, you have multiple fantasy teams, so Kyle and I have to share one.
I didn't know what was going on. But what I do know is it's the commissioner. How did I find a player? They told me we needed a player. I found one in 10 seconds.
Oh. It was remarkable. I said I'd reach out to somebody here at 1320. Before I could even say I'll reach out to someone at 1320, before I could even put that text thread together,
yeah,
you were like, Ken's in. Wait, what?
Well, I told you this too. You guys have a text thread. I'm not on the text thread.
Yeah, okay, so here's what happened.
Oh, you're not
that.
In that? Oh, because no, you're not considered a real player. You're one of those silent partners.
Yeah.
You're Tom Brady.
Oh.
A fake owner.
No, well, here's this, and this is James. Now, this is on me now.
Let's test this out. I'm going to text Ken right now and tell him to come in here. See how fast he comes in here.
All right, here. Tell me when you hit send.
We're just bringing in everyone.
This is Studio 2.
Unless he left. I mean, we just had a major meeting.
Yeah, it looked hectic.
Those major meetings.
The Hard Rock live soundstage looks incredible, by the way.
We're not on that.
Oh, yeah.
We're not on the major meetings because, like, the major meetings always happen at 11. Exactly. And we got a show.
Yeah, dude.
Oh,
there
he is right there.
Dude.
Hang on. Did he just see my text? Hang on. He's
looking.
We're
we can see
this.
Ken.
I got to film
out
this.
The window.
I have to film this.
We can,
so
can
we're
I get.
Watching this in real time.
Yeah, here we go.
Ken reading my text.
Ken is.
This is Ken reading my text.
Over there.
Let's see if he's
behind
there.
Abe. I think he is. Texting you back. This is hilarious.
And over. Oh, look at these zoom.
Come on, Ken.
In.
Make a play.
Ken.
Make a play, Ken.
Turn around, Ken.
You got to make a play, Ken.
Turn around, please.
Ken.
Jesus, what's he texting?
And you know, right next to Ken
is
Karoche.
He's a hunt and peck texter, too.
Oh,
that
no.
Also tracks.
Hang on. He's texting me a lot of stuff here. Yeah. Unless he's maybe he's texting someone else.
Oh.
Hey, it'd be so funny if he's doing all this typing and then just sends back K.
We've got Karoche right next to him, and Karoche got the highest grade in our draft.
Yeah, shout out to Karoche.
Yeah.
So this is what happened is they had 11 players. I was talking to Charlie one day. Aaron is in a closed door meeting. Gets up.
Aaron's the main boss here.
Aaron's
for those
the
that
boss,
don't know.
Right? Aaron's the tribal chief, and he. I just recently learned that's a wrestling thing. Kenny and D'Lo call him.
Acknowledge me.
Yeah, right. That's
Roman Reigns. Yeah,
right. I just recently learned that was a thing. So he gets up and opens the door and points at Charlie and goes, "You're recruiting him, right?" Like to what?
What the hell's Ken
hey,
doing?
Here comes Ken.
Perfect.
Yeah, no, this is great. Ken,
this is one of the top guys.
Ken, we're going to, by accident, have every member of the Odyssey Fantasy League, except for Vince, who's a Cowboys fan and is not afraid to let anybody know it.
How does this work? Ken, how does this mic on?
Ken, I got to tell you, I was very impressed to learn that you're a fast texter.
You
have a vibe of a person who takes a day or two to text back.
No, actually, I'm a voice-to-text person. That's probably why it might happen that way. But I am the worst voice-to-text texter ever. I'll talk to my daughters, and I'll say, "Love, Dad." It comes out, "Love, Dan." So they call me Dan now. Seriously, they call me Dan. It's never Dad anymore. It's kind of like an inside joke.
Ken, let's get to the real point here, Ken. Right. What do you think about, number one, no one inviting you into the Fantasy League? Number two, me inviting you in after they just decided not to invite you at all?
Yeah.
Then there's a big controversy because the commissioner didn't look and he saw that one of the people that he thought was in the league didn't sign in.
Right. Yeah,
it's no one's fault, and I always have to look out for my guy Ken because he's my top guy.
Here's how it happened for me. I you know, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, Andy goes, "Hey, you want to be in our fantasy league?" I go, "Yeah, sure." And I don't hear anything. Then Abe texts me on Sunday, says, "Hey, you want to be in the fantasy league?" I go, "Yeah, I thought Andy told me about that about 2 or 3 weeks ago."
You know what that means? It means they got the yeses and they decided, "Yeah, we're not going to put Ken in."
Yeah, that's exactly
they decided
right.
They
decided that because they thought the league was full because they got two yeses from Abe.
Yeah, well,
they got two yeses.
And how does the commissioner not delete one? Like, don't you look?
Right. You got to make a play.
I have some serious questions about this commissioner, the way this whole thing came down. But I will tell you this. I felt really bad. I ran into Paul Marshall in the hall a little while ago.
You stole his team.
I stole his team. And
which is Abe's fault.
But he's really upset. I mean, he's upset. He wants to sue me now, you know?
Oh, man.
He did seem mad because I saw Ken say, "Hey, Paul, come here." And Paul gave him the finger. He's like,
wait,
hey,
hang on.
No,
like
it was
the finger,
this finger.
To
it was this finger.
To the chatty house.
It was finger. the index finger.
Oh,
like,
the index
like
finger.
Hold on. I'm
hold
talking
on.
Now.
Hold on with not saying hold on, just the one finger up.
Yeah.
Okay. Dang. The yeah. full silent treatment.
Yeah. yeah.
That's tough.
So how did you guys do? I don't know.
So this is what, when you came in, right. I was telling the story. So the reason James and I teamed up okay. is because Aaron said, hey, we need a 12th team. You guys are the 12th team.
Right.
And I wasn't going to do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want James to do it alone. Right. I went, hey, content opportunity.
Yeah.
But wait a minute.
So
you guys work at
a la you guys being.
You guys, it's almost not fair. I mean, you guys are sports gods here. And you get to team up on your fantasy team.
Well, based on the draft, they're not really that godly. But, I mean, it looked okay.
Did you just come on, that? Man.
It looked okay. But here's the thing. You guys should have been the first two invited into the league.
That's what I'm. That's
why were
I,
you guys number 12?
Abe, we should also have sponsors, but we don't have those either outside of Jiffy Lube. So,
hey,
Kenny's
that's
in
a
the,
great
Kenny's, Kenny's in the building now. Kenny's not in the fantasy. Were you invited to the?
Of course he was.
Were you invited to the ESPN? Or I'm sorry, the Odyssey Sacramento Fantasy League? Kenny Caraway.
I might have been. I don't know.
He doesn't even care enough.
That's crazy.
To check.
I'm not a fantasy.
You want to talk
guy,
about a slow yeah. text backer?
Well, things happen. Things happen. Yeah, I'm not a fantasy guy, but you know, I like the numbers. I like the you know the games, betting on the games. You guys need to get. I'm gonna send you the invite. You need to get in the Pick'em League.
Oh,
you know what I mean that we got going on.
Oh,
where everybody loses.
I need to,
me
to get into this.
Almost every y'all. Come on, man. Send me the email. Text me the email. We'll get you in there. Everybody
text
can
text him the email. So he'll get back to us in a few days.
Can I ask you guys? Can I ask you guys as sports experts? One of the biggest mistakes people in fantasy football make is wanting to pick guys from the team that they like the most. Well, you know what I mean? I'm a Raiders guy. I'm a Raiders guy. And I hardly ever pick the Raiders, except for if Devontae Adams is available. Of course, I want to take
luckily
him.
Luckily, I got him.
You know, can I trade for him? no, but why? That's smart strategy, right? Because you don't want to be too personally involved with the players you're picking.
Well, Casey, why don't you tell Ken your strategy here, your draft strategy?
Well, I don't pick any players of teams I don't like.
So
wow.
No
you're
Rams.
Too close
no
to
Rams,
it.
No NFC West.
I might get a Cardinal in there.
Even
okay,
if it's,
we'll get a Cardinal.
Wait.
No Seahawk, no Rams.
Hey, Kenny, even if it's CD Lamb, who's like going to projected to have an awesome fantasy.
If it's CD Lamb, if CD Lamb's on the board, that means somebody else that's not a Cowboy should be around.
Kenny.
Here. So I'll go, I'll take
just
wow.
no Cowboys.
I'll take
Chiefs? You do Chiefs. You have
Patrick
Mahomes.
He's a QB.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's really about it.
Wait, hang on. Let's go back to CD Lamb. The biggest controversy in the whole draft, Ken took Justin Jefferson before CD Lamb. CD Lamb is going number one in most drafts. He felt, what did you have, four?
I was third.
He had the third pick. CD Lamb fell all the way to fifth, who should have been the number one pick in the draft.
You know why? You know why? Because I don't like the Cowboys.
See? I see Ken gets it.
I'm just I'm joking. I missed that one. I love Justin Jefferson. You saw that
that's
show
fine.
Receiver.
The guys you want to root for.
I love this guy. I love this guy.
I just don't love Sam Darnold. That's
yeah,
exactly.
that's true.
Where I'm at.
That's
I'm with
true.
You, James.
Was
JJ
you're right.
Better than CD's last year? I don't know. Were they?
Yeah, but he had a better quarterback
last
year.
They're both really good. Yeah, but now
he had Cousins. I think Jefferson had better numbers.
He only had Kirk Cousins for half the year, and Justin Jefferson missed like three or four games, right?
That's true.
Yeah, I think he only played like 10.
Well,
he missed a bunch.
It's going to be interesting. Going to be a lot of fun. I'm so glad I get to be in the league. sorry, Paul, if you're listening. Sorry, we really feel bad.
Oh,
for
he's
you.
Right outside the studio. He just gave us the finger.
If you feel bad, you can split a team with him, like me and Kyle do.
Yeah, just jump in. We're turning into.
Well, he's a Raider fan
this
too.
Is the
so.
Draft y'all was talking about yesterday.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. We had Abe tried to steal two teams, and then no.
Yeah. Well, they sent me. Somehow I ended up in there twice, but the commissioner, how do you not check?
Yeah,
and then Paul,
the commissioner.
Andy Hawk, we're
and then,
questioning his.
Who we had earlier in
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Paul decided to log in 4 minutes before the draft, and then he found out that everyone thought he logged in already.
Yeah,
he wasn't logged in. So we invited Ken. Ken
like,
took
no,
the spot.
He just stole the spot.
Well, no, they gave it. I had it yesterday.
Oh
I had it the day before. The day before they invited me.
And I want to know why my three of my you guys are you four and Dame,
D'Lo
are my
against fantasy.
These are my top guys in the whole building. Oh, why are you guys invited last? You guys should have all been. You guys should have been the first three invites.
You know why? Because people are afraid that we're going to get our butts kicked because you guys are the professionals.
That's exactly right.
So no, I'll tell you guys. We're
discrimination.
Okay. So D'Lo will not enter. So it don't even matter.
Like, okay.
He's
not a fantasy guy.
No, he hates fantasy. Okay. I don't like fantasy. I don't like it, but I don't hate it. So I'll
why don't you like it?
Because of what I'm talking about, like. I don't want to be forced to root for people or
other teams
that I don't want to be successful.
Yeah.
So because of that, because of my strategy, I don't ever really win. So I'm not really crazy about it. But I'm in one with like my family, my in-laws, been in it for like the last 5-6 years. It's fun. Yeah. We talk crazy or whatever. And I'm not that bad. Like I'm losing the second round of the playoffs or something like that.
Wow.
But I'm just not into it. I'm more into like odds, betting.
Do you guys have a quick second for me to tell you this fantasy story, or are we up against it? Or
no, we got like we're out of here at 55.
Okay, real quick.
Yeah, quick second.
All right, so two years ago, I was kicking it in butt in this fantasy league I was in. I was number one in the league, went to the playoffs, won the first two, the final game, okay? Me and the second place guy. It was the game Cincinnati and Buffalo game.
The Hamlin game.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And I had Josh Allen as my quarterback. I was down by 5 points in the second quarter, projected to win by 25 because I had Josh Allen. And they called the game.
Mm.
So I ended up losing because they said, hey, there's nothing we can do. It's an official game. So I lost a lot of money, and I was number one in the league. So they put an asterisk next to my name. But can you believe the luck there?
That's
of course,
brutal.
it's all about him.
Of course.
But there were a lot of people that had the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
And for it to end on that game, that was crazy.
We split, like in our league. The two winners split because it was the Super Bowl, right?
Right.
Yeah, so it was like, okay. Like the money, whoever won, but the money, like everyone splits.
Yeah.
So
tough. You know, look, it was all about him. But I'm sitting there going, I'm down by 5 points.
And every week you're like, get up,
please, DeMar, please.
It looks like he's going to start at safety for the Bills.
Amazing,
that's great.
Amazing. Shout out to DeMar Hamlin.
There you go, DeMar.
Great all right, that story. D'Lo and Casey coming up next. What you guys got?
Just I want to give a shout out to my backup running back on my fantasy team, Isaac Guerrero.
Isaac Garanda?
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
I
love
that. On my team.
Okay. I love that.
I'm probably the only one in America.
Rostered on 1% of leagues. It's Kenny.
That's amazing.
All right. That's going to do it for us.
Thanks, guys.
Abe, Ken, thank you so much. I almost called you Dan. Ken, thanks for jumping in. D'Lo and Casey coming up next. They're going to take you to 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 1320. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're back with you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water and be nice to people.